My name is Samantha, and I am the front woman and singer of War Girl.
Okay, Samantha Parks, your full name?
Yes.
You said front woman, is this right?
Yeah, so it's an expression that people use for like fronting a band or being the singer or the front person.
Yeah, I ask you because you're said to be a quite democratic band without hierarchies and so on. That's why I ask.
Yeah. No, it's just a form of expression. We definitely are like a band without really hierarchies or anything. We do everything pretty collaboratively. It's more so like a physical thing, I guess. When we're staged, we're always in like the same place. And the singer is typically in front. So I think that's where the expression stems from.
Okay. And yeah, are you seen as front woman as well? I mean, are you asked if there is any problem on soundcheck or so? So are you the first person to speak with?
No, not necessarily. We all soundcheck our own instruments. And so... it just goes according to person. And in terms of checking in at the venue, like we all kind of collaborate on that as well. Like everything is really a joint effort for the most part.
And you are six people in general?
Yep, six of us.
You are quite diverse, aren't you? If you can say so.
We are, yeah.
In how far?
We vary in ages. We all live in different... We're all from Long Beach, but now live in different areas. Like our bassist is in L.A. and our drummer and keyboardist live more inland. And Matt and Eric and I are still in Long Beach. But we all come from different musical backgrounds and... have different occupations outside of the band. Like Tammy is an engineer and Jeff is you're in the science realm and I am a teacher. And Matt is like an artist and a photographer. Eric is in finance, I think, or something of that nature. But and we all have, like I said, different musical tastes. Too, so that's where I think the eclectic sound comes from. Is there's rock influence and punk influence and soul and reggae and disco, and that all stems from where we come from as individuals.
And what's your personal musical background?
I come from a soul and jazz background. I was singing a lot of jazz specifically before I joined War Girl, and it has a special place in my heart. And then I was also raised on a lot of soul and Motown, so those kind of roots definitely are prominent in my style of singing. But it's been really fun to explore that within like a rock genre, because it's more of a hybrid,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really interesting to play with.
Yeah, that's what I asked myself. How does this work to put together all these genres? And isn't there any trouble in between the band members who say, okay, let's do more the punk thing, and the other says, no, I want to do more the rock and roll. And yeah, how do you manage?
No, actually, we're all really respectful of one another in that, right? Because everybody's on the same caliber. Like everybody has been doing this for almost their whole life. Like to come together and be able to play in a room and create, like, without too much of a, there's not really much of a struggle that happens. It's almost like a lot of happy accidents that take place where like Enya will do something on the keyboard and she'll think that it was like weird, but we'll think it was like brilliant. So we almost more so encourage each other and we see like, we kind of, inspire one another, I would say, I guess, in terms of our different backgrounds, as opposed to combating each other. It's very much like a yes and relationship where we really try to work with everyone's ideas and place them into a melting pot, which again, I think lends to our sound and is what makes War Girl, War Girl, is it's not like anything that's being done because it is so diverse. And I think we all love that, you know, about our band. We all love that about each other. So we use that to our benefit.
I don't remember if there are any other bands with the same concept. I don't know. Do you know some bands?
In terms of our genre, I wouldn't say so. I mean, we're definitely, we have our different influences. Like, I know Matt is really influenced by like Bob Marley and The Clash, and Tammy really loves like the Rolling Stones and anything pretty much classic rock and roll. And I love Aretha Franklin and you know, other soul artists of that nature. Like, and then we kind of cross over with one another where it's like Fly in the Family Stone is like an all around crowd favorite, like, or band favorite rather. But yeah, I don't think that, to me, I don't think that there's an imitation of us anywhere, and we're not imitating anything necessarily. We're definitely gaining inspiration from a lot of the pioneers of music. But we're definitely not trying to recreate anything that's been done.
Yeah, so you are more or less unique, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah, that's a good thing, to be unique.
Yeah, it's brave. It's a brave thing, I think.
You live in Long Beach, South California, right?
Yes.
And sure. How are the conditions over there? So how are the conditions to make music in Long Beach?
We're really lucky in the sense that we have a home studio at Matt's house. So our guitarist has a home studio that is called, we call it Tacky Land. And that's where we gather to songwrite and record our music. So it's pretty much accessible 24/7. And it's really a place with a lot of character and quirkiness, I would say. a lot of great memories in that studio. It's wonderful. Long Beach is like a very laid back city, and it itself is like such a melting pot, you know, like from neighborhood to neighborhood, the mood shifts and the demographic changes. And I think we're always striving to keep that as part of our sound. So it's nice to be able to create from a place we're all from and really can feel connected to.
Is it expensive to live there?
Is it expensive?
Yes.
I guess it depends on the neighborhood that you're in.
Okay.
I think it's expensive to live in California in general. It's definitely not the most cost efficient place to live. But we're all making it work. We love our city.
Okay. And is it right on the beach? Like the name says, Long Beach?
Oh, yeah. Not where we live. No, we're more inland. But there is a beach. We don't live, like, those properties are definitely probably crazy expensive. We do not live right on the beach.
I don't know anything about Long Beach, so I know something about Portland, of course. It's said to be quite alternative and, yeah, good drug politics and so on. Maybe you can tell me more about that. So is there a queer community, for example, and how is it in a political way?
I mean, like I said, there's a lot of diversity, so there's a big LGBTQ community and it's very open. I think there's a lot of openness in Long Beach where you can be walking down the street and it's a tight-knit community, and people are friendly, and they'll say hi or they'll engage. It's a very easy place to make a new friend. It's a very easy place to integrate yourself into a community that maybe you didn't think you had anything in common with. And because it's so tight-knit, I mean, with the current events, of everything going on with, like, Black Lives Matter and whatnot, I've been to, I want to say, 2 protests out there now, and it's just, there's just, like, a certain energy that's so unique to the city itself, and really comforting in a way, because there's just this built-in sense of unity. So, yeah, it's beautifully diverse, but tight-knit, like I said, at the same time. Like, everybody kind of holds space for one another, I feel like, in Long Beach.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit hippie.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess, like, it's kind of similar to Portland in that way, which I've never been to Portland, but I could see some of the parallels, maybe, you know, where it's just a little bit more, like, free and open. Yeah.
Yeah, I used the term hippie because I think that you wrote... Well, I've read about you that you wanted to spread love and happiness with your music. So would you call yourself kind of hippies as well in the band with the project?
Not necessarily. I think we are just people who want to do good, and we do want to promote, like, love and acceptance and within being in a band that is diverse itself, and being able to coexist in a band where we're able to set an example of what that means to us, I think sort of speaks for itself. You know, I don't necessarily think it's so simple as to, like, label all of us as, like, hippies or anything like that, because we're all very different. We are. But I think the philosophy is where we can agree, you know, our philosophies of life, and just wanting to use our platform as musicians as almost a healing mechanism, you know, and a tool for inspiration. And we try to write very universally so that our audience can latch on to what we're saying and the energy that, you know, that is bleeding through our music. I think that's what it's all about, is, like, connection, you know, and that really resonates with our live shows, which we miss very much, playing live.
Yeah, I feel you. And you adore Woodstock music, so it's hippie as well. I've read that you adore some Woodstock bands.
Yeah, there's I know Matt refers to Santana's performance a lot, Jimi Hendrix. I'm a really big fan of, like, the Mamas and the Papas, Janis Joplin. I think there's been some comparisons to us being sounding rather like maybe a more of a Woodstock era band, which I think is a huge compliment, because that was a very revolutionary time. And there is this undertone of a vintage vibe where we use all analog equipment, and our process is very old school in that way. You know, it's very classic kind of approach to recording. So I think maybe that's where that comes in.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about your second record, Dancing Gold.
Oh,
will
yeah.
be released on 12th of June. So
yes,
tomorrow.
I know, it's so exciting.
Dancing Gold. It's on this German label, Cloud Hill, isn't it? So how did you get in touch with that label?
They found us on our first tour, which dates back, I want to say, about 3 years ago, our first time ever touring in Europe. They, I think, had seen us play a show or a festival. I can't quite remember. And And after some time to, you know, talk as a band and reflect on it, we decided to go with Clouds Hill, and we are so, so happy. We're all like family, and I think it's nice to be with somewhat of like a smaller label, you know, because it is more of an intimate, there's an intimacy, you know, and a closeness that I don't know if we would be getting if we were with a bigger label. But yeah, it's been a really, really positive experience, and we've been so fortunate to return back to Europe and the UK and tour, and we hope to keep doing that, you know? And so, yeah, our record's going to be releasing tomorrow, and it's got a lot of, I want to say more, it's a more, and I think the band would agree with me when I say it's like a more mature, I think, version of us, and that's just come with flourishing together and having all these experiences together and bonding even more as you know, a band. And there's also, I think, a sense of vulnerability on this album that's going to be like distinct, you know, in terms of our debut album. So mm-hmm. I'm eager to see what people have to say. And I really hope that it resonates with our audience and otherwise.
So the name Dancing Gold, again, I had to think of Woodstock and so. What does it mean what does it mean to dance gold? So is this a special term in English?
It doesn't have like a particular meaning per se. We are writing that song. It just kind of found us. And Matt was the one that started to like sing it when he and I were writing the lyrics to the song in the studio. And I just like the image of it. You know, I think it's got this, it's almost like Little Girl where, you know, it's got this homage to disco in a way, you know, Dancing Gold. What I automatically think of is like dancing at a disco or, you know, liberating yourself through movement. And you know, the tag is I need to bare my soul. It's mm-hmm. like this encouragement to just kind of shed any of the shackles that you feel are holding you down and just, you know, be free, be bold, be loud, you know, which I guess is back to that hippie mentality, if you want to call it that. But it's just kind of a fun phrase for like breaking free, I guess, and expressing yourself boldly.
Yeah, so is it a kind of being free to bear one's soul? I would say so.
I think that's like the vulnerability I was talking about. Mm. You know, it's I think a lot of us go through life feeling like we have to apologize or censor ourselves or overcompensate, and this song is, you know, encouraging the opposite of that. Like, it's like, be honest and you know, do all the things that your heart desires and speak truth and just go for it. You know, life is too short to live being sheltered and playing it safe, you know. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah, that's more personal thing, to be vulnerable, to be honest. And on the other side, you said that you wanted to make important music with universal messages. Yeah. So universal message sounds like more political, maybe. So which message do you want to share?
I don't know if it is more political. I think it could definitely be interpreted as that. And we do speak to like anti-war and, you know, on this album specifically, like there's I'm utilizing my voice, I think, a little bit more as like a Black woman. There's like a specific song that I was really inspired to touch on, based off like my African roots and what it's like to navigate through America as a Black woman. So I guess those things could be deemed as political, but I think overall we just want to encourage people to have like a free thinking mind, thinking, you know, think independently, and to, you know, curate a life that feels right for them. And ultimately, I think what the world needs, and Matt and I talk about this a lot, is more peace and more love and more unity. I think that's what we've been striving for a long time, especially in America. And as a band, you know, hopefully we can be a small fraction of advocating for that.
Yeah, there's a song called Hang On, and that's what you say as well. So yeah. Don't give up. Go on fighting.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you have to fight a lot in general, but especially in America at the moment.
Yeah, and like it's fun because the universal aspect of writing songs, Hang On is a great example, because that could be interpreted as like you could be talking to a lover or an ex, or you know, it could be more of like a worldly type thing where you're talking to your fellow human in general or whatever, you know, you're talking to the world. So that's more so what we strive for, is for our audience to be able to take whatever we write and apply it to their own experience. You know, I want the interpretation to stay open, or we want the interpretation to stay open so that people from all different walks of life can relate to what we're saying and the message that we're putting out.
In the song Don't Bring Me Down, is it about the kind of unbalanced relationship? So that one side gives always more. When you sing I Don't Care,
yeah.
You don't care about me?
Yeah, I think, again, that's another song that's interchangeable. Where, like, it's funny because Matt and I will get, when we're writing together, very rarely we're like kind of writing from different perspectives, because he and I experience life very differently, and we have a lot to offer one another in that right, where we're able to gain perspective from an outside view, but also share an inside view. You know, we're able to share our personal experiences and then intermix them so that the perspective again is universal. So for like Bring Me Down, I think Matt maybe would interpret it differently in terms of the meaning. But overall, again, it's just got that open-endedness where anyone who listens to it, I think, would be able to apply it however they see fit. And I think those are some of the greatest songs ever created, is the ones that never die, because they're always relevant. So hopefully we can exist in that category as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the end, one last song. It's about the future maybe as well, 2069. So it's about 40 years in future. why this date? Why 40 years in future? I mean, I don't know if we are still alive. 2069, maybe.
Matt had this really cool concept of speaking to like the 60s kind of being reborn in 40 years. And like history has repeated itself.
So it's the Woodstock
right?
year,
like,
isn't it? 69.
Yeah, it's like that year of peace and love, and he just thought, you know, he thought that would be a cool concept to play with. So, and it is like, you know, very honest, and it was a fun song to write because it really just kind of put itself together. It didn't, I don't know, it just kind of like, it was so fluid writing that song. It was a lot of fun. And definitely a different sound than what we've created in the past. And yeah, it's definitely a unique approach. And it's been really cool to play it live because we noticed that without having heard it before, audience members are already singing it by the end of the song. So that's really cool to witness. Seems like, you know, we're doing something right if people are singing it by the end of the song. So.
Okay. What do you think? When will you come back on stage?
Oh, man. I hope
this
it's
question
sooner
hurts,
than later.
I'm sorry, but...
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's like, there's just so much uncertainty going on right now in the world. And I know the last I heard was that concerts weren't going to be allowed until 2021, which is next year. But I'm crossing both my fingers that that's not the case. And maybe, you know, I don't know, something will give and we'll be able to play sooner than later. Hoping it's a hard thing to navigate right now in terms of performances, but we are already eager to get back into the studio and start writing more songs and doing what we can, you know, as artists and musicians and creatives. We definitely have no intention of letting this slow us down. So, you know, it's like, hang on, you know, we're hanging on.
There's nothing else to do at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe there will be something possible with open air. I mean, outside it's much easier than in
closed
rooms.
Yeah, that's, summer is here. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out in the next few months. But right now it's tricky to gauge. We're not really sure what's going to happen. So we're going to keep our eyes open. And until then, like I said, just do what we can and create, you know, for future albums and concerts.
Yeah, maybe you can present two records at the same time.
Right.
When you go on tour.
You never know.
So the concerts will be 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
Next year. Would be great.
I think
as well.
Everybody will be ready for that.
Yes.
By the time this is all over.
So I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I know. So many of us are.
Yeah, Samantha, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wish you all the best. Hope
thank
the best
you.
For the life opportunities. But I'm sure
thank
it will
you.
Work out. Okay.
Yeah. Everything works out in time.
So say hello to the band from Freiburg, Germany.
I will.
And we think of you. And happy release day tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night.
You
bye.
As well. Bye.